Hello and welcome back to the Smashy Business Show. I'm Farah Bashir. Joining me is...
And I'm Ward Ahmed.
So you guys, I'm so excited to have Ward with us. And I want to ask you a question. Ward, would you think of having your own business one day?
Yes, of course I would think of having my own business. I think that, you know, when you have your own business, yeah, you have the added advantage of, you know, having control over all the creative decisions. And, you know, you can really just make your wildest dreams come true.
I agree with you. However, it's not really that easy. Do you think it's luck or do you think it's like really hard work that all of these businessmen really put through to have successful businesses? Because to have a business, it's not, you know, like you need, it's a lot of work. It's an almost everyday job, every second job to handle.
Of course, it's hard work because, you know, if you want to go after something big, mm-hmm, obviously, you know, you have to have hard work in it because in the end of the day, hard work does pay off. But, you know, I really do believe, you know, for any business owner, when they start something, they started it because they love it.
True.
And, you know, if you love something, you know, you're going to go through with it and you're really going to enjoy it.
And you get it as well, by the way, because like you have told me something about Steve Jobs before we got on the show. Why don't we share it with the audience?
You know, for example, with Steve Jobs, when he first began Apple, you know, for a while, the company was going very well until more boards of more members joined the company. And he was not the only person who had a stake in the company. And what basically happened, because he had an issue with one of the board of directors, because, you know, he was trying to push out more products and Scully was trying to push for more profit, they had an agreement and he was actually ousted from his own company.
That's really sad, honestly, because, like, you know, like when we think of Apple, we think of Steve Jobs, right? And
yeah,
if what is Apple without Steve Jobs?
That's true.
You know what I mean?
But, you know, he did come back later on.
Of course
you know, he did come back later on and he was able to buy the company back. And, you know, that's when he was able to push, you know, the infamous iPhone, mm-hmm, and the iMac.
Of course. I mean, honestly, like Apple products are for the win at all times. I love Apple. I love its products. But you guys, let's jump. And I want to just give you like a brief of like the headlines of the things that we're going to be talking about today. So Dubai Entrepreneur launches Low Cost Air Kerala, targeting affordable flights for Indian expats, which is very interesting. And UAE's Electra acquires 20% stake in Egypt's Al Suwaidi Electric for $450 million. I mean, it's a huge number. And a risk that we're going to be talking about. And of course, Saudi Arabia announces a major increase in job opportunities for expats, which is interesting, really interesting. But we're going to be diving deep in a bit. So let's start with the Kerala affordable flights for Indian expats. So Dubai entrepreneurs are bringing affordable travel to Kerala, India, with the launch of new regional airline Kerala. Now, the airline, backed by Afi Ahmed and Ayub Kalada of Zeftli Aviation, secured this initial no objection certificate from India's Civil Aviation Ministry. And Air Kerala aims to boost tourism and trade in Kerala while creating 350 jobs in the state's capital, Kochi. And the airline will initially focus on connecting smaller tier 2 and tier 3 cities with larger metro airports within India using the ATR 72 to 600 aircraft. What do you think of that? Because I know for a fact that Kerala is a beautiful city in India.
You know, it's really quite amazing because of the fact that, you know, Kerala, by some people, it's known as the Venice of India. And, you know, in the UAE, we have a lot of Indian expats.
Yes,
and,
we do.
You know, they can finally find a very affordable budget airline that they can take back to India. And it's also very amazing because they're using the ATR 72-600 planes.
True.
And what makes these planes very special is that these planes are, you know, they're very fuel efficient. And because they're very fuel efficient, that means that they could run for very long and, you know, they could, you know, they could go to different locations. And because of the fact that they're also very small size, you mm-hmm. know, they could go to smaller cities that you know, in another case, they wouldn't really be able to fit a big plane. So, you know, what this is really going to do is that it's going to allow people from smaller cities in Kerala to go to bigger cities without having to, you know, travel, take the plane from major cities.
I agree with you, by the way. And as you mentioned, something that's very important, that we have a large number of Indian expats here in the country, in Dubai, that has contributed to Dubai's growth, let me say. And not only that, by the way, that I think that this is very better. And I think as well that this will maybe create competition between airlines of having something affordable.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which, of course, we are not there to advocate for competition 100%. However, it will, because a lot of Indians expats do live here and work here, and they do go and come back from India, and as well with it will increase, I would say, tourism in India. You know what I mean? Because, like, as you said, Kerala is a beautiful city.
Very beautiful palm trees.
Yes. I mean, would you go to Kerala? And
of course I would go to Kerala. You know, they have very beautiful palm trees, you know, the coconuts, the passion fruit.
Oh, yes, I mean, the mangoes as well.
Yeah, the mangoes. I love mangoes. And, you know, it's really, in, you know, most importantly, it's really going to give Kerala a competitive edge, you know, especially in India. And, you know, as you said, because it's going to boost tourism, you know, the more people are coming to the country, the more they're consuming in the country, and this is going to boost revenue. You know, I especially think for smaller cities in Kerala, this is, you know, really going to boost their tourism and revenue.
I agree with you, but speaking of the revenue, the revenue is estimated for 2021 to 2022. It was between like 1,030,981 rupees. However, they're expecting it. They want to increase it right now, and that's why they are, by the way, like, maybe promoting tourism and more jobs, because they want to support the economy, of course. And that's, by the way, like, you see countries, they have visions for 2030, they have visions for 2040 as well, because they all want to really boost the economy. What do you think? Would you go and work in Kerala? Do you think that the economy boost that they are trying to have or develop in Kerala with the low cost airplanes, do you think it will boost the economy? Because it will increase tourism, of course.
Yes, yes. I definitely think that it will boost their economy. And, you know, other than the profit added factor, you know, I think what makes this launch really special is that, you know, it's been in the making since 2005. And, you know, it wasn't launched until Afi purchased AirKerala.com last year. And, you know, most importantly, Air Kerala disrupts the market, as it's a service for people across all economic classes, as, you know, people don't have to go to major cities to access flights and to reach other cities and other countries. You know, what Air Kerala really does is that it accommodates to people who, you know, they need affordable flights.
Exactly.
I think that's really amazing.
I agree with you, honestly, because, like, of course, like, this news does not come out of nothing, because they just want to really be boosting the economy and boosting the revenue of the country as a whole. And which is why, by the way, they are there too as well. They want 350 jobs provided for people who would want to work in Kerala, which as well will be boosting the country's GDP, revenue, and economy, which is exciting.
Yeah, and even better when they launch their international airport. The first country that they're going to, the first city that they're going to be launching is going to be Dubai.
Which is very exciting, you guys. But let's jump to our next story. So UAE's Electra acquires 20% stake in Egypt's Al Suwaidi Electric for $450 million. It's not a tiny number, it's a huge number. So Electra Investment Holding, an Abu Dhabi-based electrical equipment manufacturer, has acquired a 20% stake in Egypt's Al Suwaidi Electric by purchasing 427.7 million shares at $1.05 per share, totaling approximately $449.1 million. And this acquisition, by the way, is within the 15 to 24.5% stake range Electra aimed for in its voluntary offer submitted in May. And the Al Suwaidi family collectively owns over 76% of the Al Suwaidi Electric, which we talked. Do you think that this is a risky move, considering the fact that, you know, like, the Egyptian pound has is not really doing that well.
It's definitely a risky move. However, you know, I think it's really interesting that Electra is expanding beyond the UAE. You know, by them buying a 20% stake in Al-Sawidi, what they're really doing is, you know, they're spreading their wings. They're not putting all their eggs in one basket.
I agree with you because, like, you know what I mean? It's like I feel like whenever the UAE has does any acquisition or does any sort of like investment in any other company, of course it must study it all, right, as a whole. And yes, we do know that the Egyptian pound has dropped to 50%, by the way, that's not a small number, it's 50%. So we are expecting, of course, this will, I would say, boost the Egyptian economy. Hopefully,
yeah.
You know what I mean, and it would be better for the for everyone, for Egypt, for Egypt's economy, which is very exciting, of course. So, like, it just like brings me to one key point is that Electra began purchasing shares in early June after receiving regulatory approval from the FRA and EFG, by the way, like, as well, which is very exciting. You know, like, it did not just like sell shares, it got a lot of approvals. Because getting towards the approval process is not an easy process, right? Of course,
yeah,
for sure.
Of course. And it's also more than just business. This is gonna, you know, greatly improve the UAE's relationship with Egypt.
Yes.
You know, it's gonna build a stronger economic ties between the two countries, and you know, it's a win-win for both sides.
I agree with you. It's a win-win. However, as well, before all of this happened, legal advice for Electra was provided by MHR and partners in association with White and Case. So this brings me to like the point of like, you know what. Maybe this will allow people who would want to invest in Electra in the future in Egypt, businessmen in Egypt, to invest in the shares without feeling like, the Egyptian pound is dropping. Should I invest? Should I not?
Yeah.
What is one company you would invest in its shares?
One company.
That's a good question.
Shares. I think a company that I'd invest in its shares is Disney. Mm-hmm. You know,
Disney, yeah.
People are always going to love Disney, you know. I think that we all love Disney, so I think I'd go for Disney.
I mean, honestly, yes, of course, you know what I mean. But like, for example, I'm asking that because at this point, many businessmen all around like the Gulf area and Arabs, they go like, oh, my God, where should I be investing or where should I be keeping my money at? They're for example, like right now, just like our producer, Masa, just like told me in my ear, so like she would invest in Salik. Where would I invest? Where would I invest? That's a very good question. Well, I would actually invest in real estate.
Smart. Yeah.
Yes, real estate. I would really invest in real estate. I think real estate, I just like, because I think it's like a win-win for me. However, like with Electra, I think it's a win-win situation for Egypt and the UAE as a whole. Now, speaking of investment, you guys, Saudi Arabia is investing in itself because Saudi Arabia announced a major increase in job opportunities for expats. So Saudi Arabia has implemented the first phase of the professional verification service as part of the professional certification program to enhance job opportunities for qualified people. Now, the initiative supervised by the Ministry of Human Resources and Social Development and supported by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs aims to ensure that expats, of course, are able to be included in the Saudi labor job market. And initially covering 128 countries, the program uses an automated unified electronic platform to verify qualifications focusing on high skilled professions. And of course, the goal is to regulate the labor market, improve job quality and services, and enhance productivity. And I think, honestly, this all is happening because we talked about this on the show, me and Rich, all the time, about Saudi having a 2030 vision.
Yes.
And for a 2030 vision, they are improving its companies, and Saudi's economic growth has been very significant. And, of course, a lot of things contributed to that. Tourism, economy, investment in Aramco, and the list goes on. And this, I would say, is going to be a major, I would say, contribution. What do you think?
I definitely think so. And I think that, you know, the professional verification scheme, the reason why it's so important is because really it's going to ensure that, you know, people's qualifications are genuine.
Yes.
Know? And I think that, you know, people who they really work hard to get their education, their qualifications, you know, their hard work is finally going to be recognized.
I agree with you, you guys. But do you think someone needs a degree to be able to do the job? Or to be able to invest in themselves? No.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
You know, that's not saying that education is not important. Education is really important,
it is, yes.
You know. I think that, you know, I'm very privileged. You know, we're very privileged to have gotten the education that we have. But no, I definitely don't think so. And, you know, this professional verification scheme, I think it works well for the people who have their degrees, you mm-hmm. know, their qualified degrees, you know. But, you know, what about the people who they have the qualifications, they have the skills,
but
they don't have the degree?
I know. You know what I would love? I would love for Richard to be here and have his opinion on it. Because I really would want to know what does he think about that. Because, you know, I don't know. I think yesterday he told me one thing, that when you get the 4 years, I don't know, like degree, right? You take like 4 years. Because like you wire your brain to that. You know, when your brain is wired to be a media personality, then that's how what you're going to be. But if your brain is wired to be an engineer, that's different.
Yeah, that's very true. And, you know, people who, you know, they have the skills, they have the qualities required for a job without the degree.
Yeah.
I think they're also really special because, you know, to obtain these skills, they actually went out of their own way to get them. And I think that's very special.
Now, various professions, by the way, from that includes engineering and health, which, by the way, both of them, I would say, contribute to Saudi Arabia's 2030 vision, which I'm very excited all the time. All the time tell Richard that I'm really very excited for it. I mean, I'm looking forward to it because, like, you know, the 2030 vision, it's launched by Saudi Arabia and it aims to achieve the goal of increased diversification economically, socially, and culturally, in line with the this is all in line with the vision of the Saudi Arabia Crown Prince and Prime Minister Mohammed bin Salman, which is really, by the way, let me tell you, it just like brings me to a point of like we have seen Saudi Arabia over the past, I would say, like month, really grow in several different aspects, whether they are as well they invested in electric cars, for the environment, right, and they have as well, I would say, told people to invest in Aramco in oil, which is really exciting and impressive. And this is all, by the way, like it will support the country's economy. What do you think of that? Would you invest in Aramco?
Would I invest in Aramco? Yes, I think I probably would. You know?
Okay, well, that's interesting, you guys. I mean, honestly, at this point, we talk about this, Rich and I, all the time, that we all the time hear the word 2030 for the UAE, for Saudi Arabia, and then it goes on and on. But we are excited for that, and with the fact that they are actually having maybe more job opportunities for expats, it just like shows me that, you know what, it will increase the economy better, and it will be all in line with its 2030 vision.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much, guys, for listening to us. Don't forget, we go in podcast form. And as Richard all the time says, we have a newsletter form if you do not want to miss out on any exclusive business news. So see you tomorrow.